sideways.com podcast. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Hello, world. Coming to you from the Engine Pro Studios just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can interact with the podcast or any of us on Twitter at TJ Slideways, on Facebook for TJSlideways.com, also via email podcast at TJSlideways.com. If you're trying the show out for the first time, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and the Google Play Store. Later on in the program, we're going to talk to Jimmy McCune about his adventure to South Africa sprint car racing. That's going to be kind of a different take on a little different adventure. We hear about people going to Australia, New Zealand all the time. And then also, speaking of New Zealand, we're going to talk to Michael Pickens about his two feature victories in one night at the Western Springs Speedway. So Jimmy McCune and Michael Pickens later on the program. Joining me again in the co-host chair, Trevor Hollis from down the road. Trevor, how you doing?
Hey, welcome. Thank you, TJ, for having me back. Always excited to be on the show and talk sprint car racing.
Definitely. And you know what? Things are starting to heat up a little bit. We got a little bit of racing in last week, and business is definitely picking up.
Yeah, the All-Stars starting their season down at Bubba Raceway down in Ocala, and there was stuff going on all over the place, not only on the racetrack.
But a little bit off it, too. We'll get to that here in a moment.
Well,
as far as what's happened at Ocala, you know, Jai Shots winning two features, not a big surprise, but a couple eye-opening performances out there to me with Kerry Madsen picking up the final night victory and actually passing Shots for the victory.
Yeah, it was pretty unexpectedly. He came right out of the trailer hot and picked up those first two nights. What impressed me was Tim Schaefer. He was the model of consistency over the weekend and didn't get a win, but I believe 2 second and a third, if memory serves me correctly. So he had a great start to his 2017 campaign.
I think that's a team that you're going to have to watch too. Great point, Trevor, because that combination seems to be fast right out of the gate, and they're kind of hit and miss, you know, races all over the place this year. That's going to be a team to watch with Schaefer in the 49 car.
Well, and when you start the season so consistent, I got to imagine that it makes that decision. If you're going to start picking and choosing your shows, but you're running consistent like that and you're contending for potentially a championship with the All-Stars, it's going to be a lot harder to decide not to go to the next race on down the road. So we'll see what the Schaefer team decides to do and see how they fare. I'm sure they'll be running at Volusia in the coming days, but we'll see what it'll be interesting, because I think you're exactly right. I think that's going to be a team to beat. Of course, Kemenaw will be tough to beat, and we've already talked in previous episodes about that huge rookie class. The All-Stars are very interesting this year. I'm actually watching them very closely.
And how about our guest from last week, Caleb Armstrong, the highest finishing All-Star regular two of the three nights? So maybe some TJ Sideways karma rubbing off on Mr. Armstrong there. It's pretty. See, we pick them before they run well sometimes too. So
right.
That's even better. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to bring on Jimmy McCune to talk about his recent adventure to South Africa. And Trevor, we, like I said earlier, we hear all the time about Australia, New Zealand trips. Not every day you hear about the sprint car adventure to South Africa.
I'm excited. I know nothing about this. So I'm going in. I did my research on Mr. McCune, but I could not find anything about South Africa, so I'm excited to hear this story.
That's why we're leaving it to him. So you're listening to the TJ Slideways podcast. Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Ashwegen Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Joining us on the hotline, recently returned from South Africa to go sprint car racing, Jimmy McCune, joining us on the line. Jimmy, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Jimmy, how did you first get the opportunity to do the South African adventure?
Oh, boy. About 10 years ago, during the AutoValue days, there was an opportunity to go through George Gustafson. And basically, that's kind of how it all came about, and just made a lot of good friends over there. And I think the first tour we went over there, there was six of us, myself, Ryan Davis, Ike Beasley, George, Bill Tyler, Hank Lauer. I don't know. I mean, there was quite a few of us that went over the first time. And I think it wasn't 3 months later, they called us back, and three of us went over, and, you know, that was my fifth time over. So it's just been kind of an ongoing thing over the last 10 years.
When you're over there in South Africa, what are the racetracks like for anybody that hasn't seen the photos or the videos? Seems like there's a lot more of them now with social media. But what are the racetracks like over there in South Africa?
Most of the facilities are quite small, very tight, flat. The racetrack that we ran the last night where we won at, they've repaved the whole track. They call that the Ultimate Raceway. They repaved that. They cut the inside about 3 meters, about 6 feet, and, you know, widened the track and gave it a better surface. So it made for quite a bit better racing than what we've seen in the past, especially with the sprint cars.
And when you're going over there, you are entirely racing on blacktop, correct?
Yeah, it's all basic. It's all pavement. Yep.
Cool. Jimmy McCune joining us. The trip to South Africa. Over there, this time around, it looked like, at least from the videos I saw, you were running what appeared to be a dirt car converted over to blacktop. Am I correct in that assumption?
Yeah, every time I've been over there, I've always run a dirt car. So that's actually the third time that I've run that particular car. It's been 1, 2, 3. I think 4 of the trips I've run that exact same car, different owners a couple of different times, but the last 3 times over there I've run the same car. And it's basically just an old 4-bar Maxim. I think it was actually one of the old Kinzer Mopar cars, probably 15, 20 years ago now. It's got to be at least that old. It's a really old race car, but it's under the care of Jock Brewis, a really good friend of mine. It was his father's car, and I mean, top to bottom, it's basically a brand new car other than an old chassis.
And I've noticed that this time around, it seems like the equipment is continuing to get better over there. I saw a lot of Beats chassis and a lot more specialty pavement equipment. I've noticed this now. Did you notice that as well? Does the equipment level seem to be going up?
Oh, yeah. Over the last 5 or 6 years, they've imported a lot of race cars and a lot of better equipment, better engines. There's probably got to be at least 8 to 12 standard beast, you know, sprint cars over there. There's quite a few Dowker cars. I mean, they just imported Mike Stutzman's cars, the Beast and the Diablo. When I was with Wilshie, we sold a car over there to the Simon family, and unfortunately they destroyed that car here a few weeks ago. But the equipment over the last 10 years from first trip to now is tenfold, way, way, way better than what it was.
Well, Jimmy, my name's Trevor. I'm helping TJ host this week, and you talk about the equipment upgrades over the last 10 years. My question would be, is sprint car racing a big thing over there? Is it kind of a new thing? How did it start, and how did you start hearing about it?
No, it's not a new thing. I mean, just in my trips over there, I've seen lots and lots of photos. I mean, we're going back probably at least 35, 40 years at wow. least that they've been running sprint cars over there. So it's not a new thing. I think it's growing in popularity. I mean, because, you know, basically everything that they run over there is all kind of like hot rods, and everything goes the exact opposite on the racetrack. Us and I think the circle track go-karts that they run are the only thing that go left-hand around the racetrack. So, yeah, I mean, it's just a different environment for everybody on both sides. You know, I mean, us going over there and the fans getting to see us and see the sprint car racing. And the guy that promoted this series that we ran this time around, Ezek Spies, he's bought a couple of racetracks and imported quite a few race cars, and he's looking to try to make things a lot bigger on both sides of the world for sprint car racing, for the SA guys to possibly come over here and run some races with us. And, you know, the same with us going back over there to race with them.
All right, so logistically, how do you get your equipment over there? What's that like?
Actually, we don't take any equipment over there. We just kind of take ourselves over there and any equipment that we need to take, you know, as far as the drivability part and parts and pieces. And we go over there and drive their race cars. Like I said, I've run my buddy Jacques Ruiz's car for the last three times that I've been over there. So we just go over there, we drive their equipment, and basically try to have fun. Because it's definitely a good time.
What is it like trying to actually get the cars to the track, though? That looks like a little bit of an adventure in yourself, because they're probably taking more cars over than they're used to, considering they're taking over the equipment they're driving and then the cars you're driving as well.
Yeah, like the last the race we went, it was about the first race that I was there, was the second race of the tour, was up in a town called Polokwane, and it took about 6 or 7 hours with a rollback and a trailer, and we had one car on a rollback and one car inside of a trailer, and then wings piled on the back of the rollback. And then the second race in the hometown where my buddy lives, we just took one out on a flatbed trailer and another one on the rollback. So yeah. It's quite an ordeal to get race cars, you know, to and from racetracks and stuff, but they definitely make the best of the situations that they have, because there's really not a whole lot of enclosed trailers. My buddy has probably one of the few enclosed trailers over in the country.
How did you do when you got over there those first two nights? What was how were the results for you?
We were second quick the first night that I was there. And my buddy Brian Lay won the first night. He's up Fremont, or, you know, runs Fremont and Attica on a weekly deal for on the dirt side. He won the first night. My teammate Jock runs second that first night. Then the following night up in Polokwane, we were second quick, and my teammate was quick time. And we won the heat race, and then we got rained out after that. Third night, we were second quick to a guy named Mondrees over there, and we ended up winning that night.
What other things do you do when you go over there? And I assume that you do put on your touristy shoes a little bit. What other things do you like to do when you go over there and visit to race?
Oh, well, that basically speaks for itself. Those people over there are some of the most welcoming people that you will ever come across in your life. And they open their doors up to just about anybody that wants to come over there and do the racing and sightsee. But, I mean, there's so many things in that country, as far as going to Kruger Park and game farms, and basically the sky's the limit on the things that you get to see on that side of the world that you'll never be able to see on this side of the world. Like I said, Kruger Park is probably one of the most well-known, famous attractions to go see there, and it's just, you go in and you could drive for 5 or 6, 7 days and still not see the park completely.
Wow.
Pretty amazing stuff. And what is there one thing that when you get back here to the States and you're here for about 3 or 4 months that you had over there that you wish you had, maybe something you ate, something you drank, something you saw, and vice versa? What's the first thing that you miss once you get over to South Africa that you wish you had from home?
Oh, probably one of the first things I do when I get home would be just get a proper pizza. Yeah, there's really not much of a proper pizza. I mean, they've got a Domino's that I think just opened up within the last year or so, but it's just nothing like being home. I mean, just a lot of things are different. You know, I mean, the 2 weeks that I was there, I think I actually drove a car maybe down to the gas station and back. So I mean, there's just little things that you just get accustomed to that you don't have on your side of the world.
What do you do you foresee any of those drivers being able to come over and compete this year? I know it's Quentin Simon actually won some races about a decade ago when he came over here. Do you foresee any of the South African drivers being able to compete over here in the States this coming season?
Yeah, I mean, that is exactly what I was talking about with Isaac, the promoter of this series. He's really looking forward to trying to get some guys to come over and do a kind of a joint tour where like, of course, we go over there, and then they want to come back over here, and he wants to put cars together on this side and just let them stand until they have a tour. So, yeah, I think it's going to be probably sometime over the next couple, 2-3 years, I think it's going to be at least taking a right direction and doing that.
One last question. What is it like being an American and going to race overseas, especially in pre-race ceremonies and maybe afterwards where you hear the national anthem and you're not just representing like yourself or your race team, but you're representing your country in that kind of competition?
It's actually probably one of the most exciting things that you'll ever do as a race car driver. The way that you're welcomed in South Africa as a sprint car driver from America is pretty much overwhelming. I mean, the grandstands were packed up at there had to be 5,000-6,000 people between the two grandstands, and then they're just packed all the way around the racetrack with tents. And yeah, it's something that you don't really get to experience on this side in the level of motorsports that we're in.
Well, Jimmy, I appreciate you taking time out to join us, and thank you for being such a great representative of our country over there in South Africa. We look forward to kind of seeing how this future develops between this American and South African competition.
Yeah, definitely excited to see exactly how that's going to play out, because I know there's some good drivers over there that would love to come over here and have a better opportunity to race. And I know my buddy Jack's he's supposed to come over this summer and, you know, spend a couple of weeks with us. So I think it'd be a great thing for both sides of the world for this sprint car series to happen.
Hi, everybody. TJ Buffenbarger here. I want to take a moment to thank everyone for reading TJSlideways.com for the past 21 racing seasons. Without you, this wouldn't be possible. We also have some fine sponsors that make the website and the podcast possible. All-Star Performance, Bailey's Racing Engines, Engine Pro, Maxim Chassis, Oschwegen Speedway, and Slade Shock Technology. Without those people, there's no way we could do things at the level that we want to do them at. No matter what race we go to, this podcast, it makes it all possible for you. So if you have a moment, please click on their banners and support one of our fine sponsors. Now, for more of the TJSlideways.com podcast. Michael Pickens,
right.
Congratulations on the big victory this past Saturday, man. For a guy that seems to be, or supposedly is focusing more on his sprint car than the midget, you're having a heck of a season with the midget, and last Saturday picked up the wins in both classes.
Yeah, no, it's been really, really solid so far, and both the midget and the sprint car, and I still keep my hand in the midget scene. I really enjoy running those cars, and they're quite a rewarding car to drive. So, it's been going both, and it's been going great in both classes. So, we just want to keep doing what we're doing.
Let's talk about last Saturday. It was the Barry Butterworth Classic. And from what I understand, they kind of do a throwback deal where you had to work a little harder for both those wins. How deep did you have to start back in the pack in those races?
Well, we won it last year in the midgets, which meant we had to start off dead last in the midget. So we started off of I think we're 22, and we got to the front in about 12 laps, I think it was.
Wow.
And in the sprint car we started about 18th, I think it was 17th or 18th. So We're pretty buried in both of them, but we made it through. Super good cars and both the sprint car and the midget, so made my life a whole lot easier.
And on the sprint car side of things, you guys were coming back from a big crash as well, so you guys had to really hustle to get a sprint car ready to even run that event.
Yeah, that's right. We absolutely destroyed a car. We're running second on Boxing Night the 26th of December, and a guy blew a rear end in front of us, and we just had nowhere to go, and unfortunately destroyed it. And we've ordered a new car, but it hadn't arrived in time, so we put our old car back together, which is pretty beat up and bent. It's not ideal, but it's obviously still got some speed left in it. So the guys did a good job and thrashed and got it together, and got the job done.
What does it feel like when you're able to do that? Because for our American listeners that aren't sure, Western Springs to me, I mean, it looks like a racing joint, but it's a flat quarter mile. You have to really hustle to pass cars around there, let alone in a midget, but a wing sprint car. I mean, that's an incredible performance.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it. It's a track where you don't create a lot of wing speed, but obviously in the sprint car. It's all about, you know, creating as much wing speed as you can and getting up on the wheel. And it's more ideally suited to a midget, but when it gets up on the fence with a sprint car, it's still a racy joint. Good fun. And it's all a learning curve for me in the wing car. And I feel I'm starting to get a handle on it. It's really rewarding for me as a driver to finally get some results in the sprint car and rewarding for the crew and everyone that helps me too.
What made you want to focus more on the wing sprint car at this point in your career?
I've done midgets now. This is my 18th year in a midget. So I've done it for a lot of years, and I just wanted to set myself a new goal and some new challenges. And one thing I've always wanted to do is be a driver that could drive a wing car and non-wing car and sort of be a bit more versatile. I set a goal. I'd love to be able to win and a wing car and a midget on the same night. We achieved that last night, and that's something I've wanted to do for a lot of years. So it's pretty cool to be able to achieve that goal.
Now, you've already been over to America once this year for the Chili Bowl, and you've been making frequent trips over here for quite a while now. Do you have any plans lined up in the United States for 2017?
I don't so far. I mean, I'd love to do Midget Week, as everyone knows, I mean, if you haven't got the right stuff and the right people around you, it's a long way to go from New Zealand just to run top 10, top 5. So if I can get something that was really good, I'd look at doing it. That's the toughest midget race in the world. And to go and do that and win that there will be pretty special.
Sprint car wise, have you been looking over here as well, or are you pretty much just focusing on trying to get a midget ride at this point?
It's pretty hard, for me to get a wing ride in the States because people don't look at me as a wing guy, so it does make it hard to find a ride, but I'd never turn any good deal down, that's for sure.
All right. And what does the rest of your New Zealand calendar look like? Do you have, I assume you have some more races through the years, rest of the year at the Springs and stuff. Are you going to go over to Australia at all for the rest of the year?
Yeah, we have a handful of races left in New Zealand. Two at Western Springs and maybe a couple out of town. And then we have a few more in Australia left to do. I might maybe be able to put a deal together to run some wing stuff in Australia, hopefully. Nothing cemented yet, but definitely with the midget, we've got a couple left in Aussie and a couple left in New Zealand, so hopefully that comes together and we can get a few more wins.
Well, Michael, it was one of the most impressive performances of the year so far this year, picking up both those feature wins, and we wanted to talk to you right after it, so appreciate you accommodating us, considering you're on the other side of the globe, we had to kind of figure out math and stuff, and appreciate it, and best of luck for the rest of the year.
Yeah, no, thank you, and I appreciate you having me on the show, a huge thanks to everyone that helps me do what I love doing, and hopefully we can carry this form on toward the end of the season, and we'll talk to you in the future.
Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the TJSlideways.com podcast. I'd like to thank my co-host, Trevor Hollis, for sitting right beside me here, getting another week under his belt. Also, Jimmy McCune and Michael Pickens for joining us on the hotline. Don't forget that you can send us feedback about the podcast, website, or anything that's on your mind via Twitter at TJ Slideways, on Facebook for TJSlideways.com, also via email podcast@TJSlideways.com. Also, if you like the podcast, subscribe to it. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Store. And that's going to do it. Thank you and good night.
Thank you for listening to the TJ Slideways podcast.